about that knob.
They were gagging for that knob.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I mean, if they like how it tastes.
That knob went straight down.
And this was a well-aged knob.
Oh, there you go. There's the knob. There you see, the knobs. Bit lower. That's the knob. That's an empty knob right there. And it's not good knob, because I didn't like the knob, I have to say. I'm not a knob lover. I definitely was a bullet lover.
I don't know where this is going.
Well, it went down Muller's neck last night, I know that for sure. And Crikey Trousers. I think Crikey Trousers probably did a bit more than Muller. I had a quarter out of the bottle. I had a quarter of a bottle of whiskey. And I said, right, that's it. I'm on Diet Coke now. I'm stopping because I've got to drive at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm not doing it. But they carried on, and I had to shove Crikey Trousers this morning to get him up, to get him out the door.
So, Crikey Trousers.
We're off. He fixed me fridge, though. My fridge is wearing away nicely, and he fixed me doorbell, and he's fixed me power supply to me meeting table. It's gorgeous here, mate. Like the office actually works now. Superb. Oh, and he straightened me sign out the front as well. So that's perfectly level two.
No. Oh,
great mate. Day. Great day for me.
I am pleased for you.
Right, let's start. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big news that's gone on in Mac. There's not an awful lot this week, it has to be said, so we might be making it up as we go along. But I've got a thing that happened to me this week that I want to talk about, which will be interesting. Joining us, a fantastic panel. We've got a great panel, and we've got in-studio people as well as. So it's going to be awesome. Start us off, top left, Doc Rock. How the devil are you, brother?
Good. Glad to be back and sitting down and not on the train or plane somewhere. But then I'm ready to go again.
Yeah, but now hang on. So you went to Japan?
Yes.
Okay, so...
It was amazing.
How did you... why were you there, and how long did you go for? And
I was there for roughly almost 3 weeks, and I just went for the hell of it. Japan is one of those things where, like, you know, you kind of go with one thing in mind, and you never end up really doing that because it's so easy to get sidetracked, like, oh, shiny object, and then you go over there. And
yeah,
but it's a great, you know, place to go and mill around, and they made traveling there a lot easier. So it's a vacation that everybody should at least experience, especially since they basically copied you guys for almost everything.
Well, we did bomb the shit out of it, so along with you guys, which didn't help.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But it's strange. Like, one of the only three countries in the world that drive on the wrong side of the road, they do a lot of things, like water closet versus bathroom, and, like, yeah, it's... You would love it. You would just love it. And the whiskey drinking is nonstop.
We need to send the chat room off to find out exactly how many countries drive on the left-hand side of the road, because I think it's...
I know. I can tell you the answer. It's only three.
It can't be. It's more than that. It's like six or seven.
Nah.
Because isn't Korea on?
Nope. They're like us.
New Zealand, Australia.
Japan. Yeah,
Australia's left. New Zealand's left. So that's four. India's on the left. Malaysia, not Malaysia, Philippines is on the left. I reckon there's six or seven. There you go. So that's it, chat room. That's your challenge for today. Welcome back, mate. We've missed you terribly. Honest.
Good to be back.
Cool, mate. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. And it's great to be on the Mac Show. What is this, 2 weeks in a row now?
2 weeks in a row. We're going to miss next week because I've screwed it up. Or no, we're all right next week. It's the week after I've screwed it up. But
the week after.
Because Adam's not on a regular basis now. He's only going to come on ad hoc. So you're our go-to Mac man in line one now.
Well, I'm feeling pretty special.
All those years you worked for the Mac Observer, we never hardly had you on, and then you've left.
And then here I am.
It's time now.
What you get, mate?
Yeah, it's actually a lot easier for me to make the schedule work now.
Brilliant. Yeah, now you haven't got a job and you don't get out of your pajamas all day.
Oh, wouldn't that be the life?
Yeah, I'm sure you'll make a massive deal of it. Well done, mate. Congratulations on the new role and everything. That's cool.
Thanks.
Next to him, Steve Sandy. looking crystal clear, actually, I have to say, Steve. It's
good. It's very good.
You are peachy clear.
I'm quite shiny today.
No, you look like you've done your makeup on your forehead. It's perfect.
Well, I wonder why. That is interesting.
Much better than last week. How's the mountain life?
Absolutely great. We had snow at the beginning of the week, as Jeff can tell you. And that is a good thing. We've had a couple of really dry winters here, so every bit of snow we get, we're happy about.
Okay. We hate snow. We absolutely loathe the bloody stuff, so. But I love it. I don't care. And last on the panels, but by no means least, Mr. Rickards.
Good evening, stroke afternoon. I think the dark night's rolling, it's feeling like evening more than afternoon. How are you? How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm okay. What's been happening in your world? Like, you can't talk about some things, can you?
That thing that we talked about before the start. There's some good
just
stuff.
Just in case. No one watches this shit, but just in case.
Just in case. I've got the odd job man from the sort of the village here. I found out he's a great sort of artist guy and a very independent artist. So I took him to the Apple store a few days ago. And he bought the new iPad Pro and the pencil. He'd never touched an Apple product before.
All right.
Never touched anything digital before and was really keen to sort of get some hands on. So I put him into a workshop at the Birmingham store. And I'll be honest with you, we had a great time. And by the end of it, he says, yeah, I'm buying one. So how good's that? So those workshops that the Apple store did enabled him to get confident. He just, you know, here's 1,250 quid and bought that the iPad Pro, which was and a new pencil.
How did you get commission?
Man, I'll tell you what I was so jealous. I was so jealous because, you know, I can't afford that. I just can't afford to sort of spend the money on that actual device. But my gosh, he's come round tomorrow, so I've got to set up his Apple ID for him and get those apps loaded on for him. So he's really excited to get up and running. But his artwork is outstanding, and I hope that, cool. You know, having an iPad will... It's, again, another good deed. You know, I helped my father with the fridge freezer, a dishwasher today, taking it to the skip. So that's two good deeds done in you know, a few days.
Deep Pan has answered the question for left-handed driving, and it's 76 countries and territories drive on the left-hand side of the road.
Jesus Christ.
So we're both a long way out, Doc.
A little bit off.
What do you guys call countries? Like, people like where Jeff lived, where there's three people, or like, you know, population?
Well, there'd be Trinidad and Tobago and what's it, Nevis and the Cook Islands and those kind of places, maybe, so.
That's almost a third of all the countries in the world, then, isn't it? About 200 countries in the world?
A third of the world drives on the correct side of the road.
Well, Jeff drives like that, and we're not supposed to be like that.
You drive on the right side of the road, but we drive on the correct side.
Might as well use it.
Yeah, that's what your road tax is for, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Last but by no means least, from the London Mac User Group, Martin.
Good afternoon, folks.
How the devil are you, mate?
We're very good. Very good. Very good.
In the studio, in the house, and you're here to pick up some purchases, aren't you?
Yes, I have.
eBay Rickards.
I have done a deal with Mr. Rickards, and I've bought his pair of pods. Can't wait to get home tonight and tomorrow to set them all up. I've got one, but everyone's told me how good they are in stereo, and I've heard them and a couple of people, and can't wait. It's gonna.
Now, why are you selling them, James?
I just need to move some money around, to be fair. Just moving some money around, that's all it is. I've also recently bought a Bose sort of home entertainment system, and I got it for a bargain. And to be honest with you, I kept thinking it's a bit stupid having these HomePods in here and really having this Bose stuff. It's kind of...
Ultimately, I
don't really need them right now.
Ultimately, the disappointment of the HomePods has worn through you, hasn't it?
No. Do you know what? I'd buy them back in a shot. I just thought, well, I'll sort of maximise what I can get for them, and then probably buy some probably after Christmas again. Yeah. But for right now, I think I wasn't really using them as I should do, because my Bose system is absolutely rocking at the moment.
Because there'll be a new set of them in January, and they'll be obsolete in a year.
I can only see them ever making them bigger. That's what I can see the future of the HomePod, is actually having a bigger version. This was very much, and I think, you know, they're certainly gaining traction. I can see this being something which Apple just won't let die at all. You know, it's a slow burner for them, you know, and I think, I still think they are amazing.
You didn't think they were amazing when you were in my studio listening to them against my Sonos Ones.
I think because you're in the luxury of being able to sit there and have two sets of speakers where you can do that comparison. But once I bought them home, and again, remember, they do calibrate to the room. I blew people away. People were coming into my house, and I put one either side of the room. And I've got very lucky. I've got quite a large front room, and they would sit there and they'd be like, "Where's that coming from?" Went that little black thing in the corner. They just couldn't believe it. You know, I really got some good looks, and I dare say I could have sold them quite a few times. I tell you.
I've only got a small room at home with a little bungalow we live in, so the room size would be perfect. So, yep, I'll tell you all tomorrow or Sunday over the weekend when I've blasted the place out. So.
Excellent, mate. Brilliant news. The week in Apple, there's not a lot actually happened in terms of the news. There's a lot of stuff that's peripheral stuff, but nothing massively major. The one thing that happened to me this week, which I got to the bottom of, and I thought it'd be a quick discussion start. I've got an iPad Air here, the original iPad Air, and I bought it brand new, and it's cellular, and I used it for ages, and I loved it. It was a great little computer to carry around, and it still is great. I just haven't got the SIM card in it anymore. It's in my iPad Pro, which I now carry around. So this is on a 12 South ARM, and it just sits here, and it just plays Netflix or something like that, or I put Sky Sports on it if there's the F1s on and stuff like that, so I can just watch it while I'm editing. And I came in the other morning, and it had done an update by itself to 12.1. Okay, I don't remember triggering that, but okay, it did, and that's the end of it. And it said, I need a SIM to activate. And I was like, well, it couldn't activate, it couldn't contact the server, and then eventually iTunes said, you need the SIM, take the SIM out and put the SIM back in. It had a SIM card in it that wasn't activated, but that didn't work. So the only way to get it back working was to put a SIM in it. So I rang Apple support and I said, how do I activate this without a SIM? Because I haven't got a SIM for it. And they said, you can't.
So that's crazy.
So I cannot activate the iPad I legally own unless I put a SIM in it. And if I haven't got a SIM, tough. So if I go to eSIM and then I can't get the SIM out because it's already in the device, you're telling me I'll never be able to activate this iPad without a SIM from someone. They went, no, that's it. That's the policy. Why?
No
idea.
No.
Like, that's insane.
No one had an understanding of why that was the case or why that was the policy, but that is the absolute. And they all knew that you couldn't activate it because they went to a supervisor. He said, I'm pretty sure you can't activate it. I'll go to my supervisor. The supervisor said, no, you can't activate it without a SIM card. So how do I get around that? You can't. You can't. There is no way to activate a device that requires a SIM if you don't have a SIM in it. Now, if you've got a standard iPad Air without the SIM card, the cellular, it will activate instantly on connection without a problem. But because it's got a SIM card in it, it will not allow you to activate it at all. And I just thought, wow, why is that? Because Deepan in the chat room said, I spoke to him on Twitter, and he said, I've got an old 4, and that activates no problem without a SIM in it. So I don't see that that's the case. And he said, unless it's changed recently. So whether it's changed in 12.1 and it's done it, I don't know. But I couldn't get my iPad working. And crikey, and I couldn't find my bloody SIM tool, so I couldn't even pop it out and put the one in from my phone, which was a pain in the arse. But I just thought, I'll just try this and see if this is just a thing that you cannot do, and you cannot do it.
Suggestion. You know what's funny is I have an old iPad Air bought day one, and if I remember correctly, it was the same thing because it currently has a T-Mobile SIM, and what happens with the T-Mobile SIMs here in the U.S. is T-Mobile gives iPad users a free 250 meg account. You run through that real quick just from searching, you know, like, you know, searching to find a good connection when you're about.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, I couldn't activate it without a SIM. So I ended up going to just the convenience store and buying a $9 T-Mobile SIM, sticking it in there. And I was on the free plan for a while. And then I just said, oh, screw it, and connected it to my AT&T account. And it has been connected to that all the way until last week or the week before last when I got the new iPad Pro. And this time I just did not get it with cellular because I found I barely used it. But I think that's not new, you know, honestly. But it was so long ago with that Air, I can't remember. But I do know that I did go and buy the SIM. And then I eventually ended up turning the actual service on for $10 on the AT&T.
Well, Deepan's swearing blind that it's a 12-12-1 thing. But I know that I've had to activate this in the past with a SIM. So I don't know that it is. And everyone was very au fait with the fact that you couldn't do it at Apple Support. They were great. They tried their damnedest. I can't fault them. They kept asking me for the IMEI number. And I said, well, I can't get into the OS. Oh, what's the serial number on the back? Well, I've got a nice cover on it from a friend. And I couldn't. I had to pull the cover off to get to the SIM tray. And it was just, ludicrous.
Did it, you remember if it came with one of these old school Apple suckers?
Yes, it's got that in it.
Yeah. See, that's why I know that I did have to put a SIM in it because this is from that original Air and it's been glued to my desk because I don't know why I kept it because it's useless. But I think that's not new. You know, honestly, I think that's been there for quite a while because it probably just doesn't come up because rarely do people get it with and not use a cellular. Or maybe it's just because T-Mobile here was just at that time that he was in that phase where I want to screw with every other cell company. He was like, you got an iPad Air, then come over to us and we'll give you free, you know, connection. And we renew it every month and it's got like rollover data. And so I think just everybody always got the T-Mobile version.
I'm getting a bit sick of I'm not sick of security. I don't know how to say this because I don't want it to sound like I'm ungrateful to people who want to secure my devices, but I'm getting a bit sick of two-factor authentication pop-up with no piss-off button. I'm getting a bit sick of when I do take the two-factor authentication, I've then got texts popping up on every sodding device going, oh, you've got a new device that's using this, are you sure? And then I get an email as well as, and then I've got a code I've got to put in, and I've got, I get that the average user is two devices, and the problem is I'm 20 devices, but when you've got 20 devices, it turns into a real frigging pain in the arse. And
this is true.
There's a story this week. There's a story this week about a series of users who've been locked out of their Apple IDs for no apparent reason and been forced to do a password reset. And password reset, I dread to think if I had to do a password reset on my .Mac account because that is a horrific experience. I've got four Apple TVs at home. I've got all the kit here. And you're just like, oh, my life, I don't want to contemplate that.
Oh, yeah, that would be horrible.
I know I'd be really secure afterwards. Thanks ever so much, Apple, but I really don't freaking want to do it.
You know, that's a catch-22, and I feel you 100% on that, but I still, you know, recently when we got the new phone, they made Karen change her password, and I don't know how she got away with it for so long, but I remember, I think on the 6 or 7, it was like your iCloud password is too soft. You need to like beef it up. And they forced me to change it then. I believe it was with the 6 or the 6 Plus. And for some reason, that didn't happen on hers. And then when she got the 8, they finally made her do it. And she was all kicking and screaming, you know, like you, because she had to go in and put all this stuff in. But in the same token, I feel more comfortable that people have stronger passwords, but yeah, like I'm with you. I'm like 20 devices in, so that's super, super irritating. But I've also committed to maybe like 3 years ago doing the expired password on my own kit instead of, you know, just keeping the passwords forever. And that's because I got $8,000 stolen out of my account. So after that, I'm like, I'll stop being such a curmudgeon about security. You know, I was like, oh, it's Apple. Nobody messes with our stuff. No one's going to get our stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here watching alerts from Amazon going, hey, you bought a $100 Xbox card. Hey, you bought a $100 Xbox card. Hey, you bought a $100 Xbox card. Holy shit. And it just kept going. It wouldn't stop. You know, you guys remember I told you about when, yeah, when I got jacked and it came from Pakistan. So, like, yeah, it's a catch-22 and you hate doing it until you get kicked in the pills. And then you wear your cup.
Yeah. Oof. Well, yeah. I'm still going to struggle with. Go on, Dave.
It is that feeling, though, isn't it? Sometimes you just get to the point now. We've got all this technology. Please, why can't you just know it's me that's wanting to sign in? Surely you've got my face now. You know what I look like. I want to access this website, this or this device. You know, I'm the same as you guys. Got a computer in every room. You know, Face ID on my iPhone, Apple TV, all that business. When it comes to passwords, like you said, it's security that gets in the way of the normal person. That's when I think it fails, really. You know, we want to know we're safe and secure. But the trouble is, we're the ones paying the price for that, aren't we? You know, yep. I've now got an EA Access account, and I've also got, there's another one, EA Access, and a Uplay account. Okay, so these two accounts hold my credit card details, and they also hold the games that I've bought since I've been sort of starting my PC game ahead on. And I get emails frequently from both Uplay and from EA saying, suspicious activity.
Yeah.
From Germany, from Dubai, from Spain.
Patrice.
I'm going, what the hell
it's
is
Patrice.
Going on?
Yeah, it's Patrice.
It's Patrice.
He's in Arizona masking that IP address.
It's kind of like, I mean, that's the ones that make me go, hang on a minute. Well, I'm definitely not in Dubai playing Call of Duty or whatever.
Don't you want to write back to them, James, and go, look, if you honestly think this is Germany or Dubai, you're so naive. Of course it's not. It's China with a VPN.
But isn't it weird that you seem to, those sort of things just bog my brain, how the computer thinks that that's normal. Oh, I mean, I was in France yesterday, now I'm in England, but now I'm suddenly in Dubai the next day.
And your algorithm at the bank hasn't picked that up. Yeah.
Exactly. You're going, hang on a minute, a multinational company like EA Games, for the, you know, well, the other one.
See, would you rather the current situation of flashing your passwords around, or would you rather just say, look, why don't you just not have my credit card details? Because that would be far. I don't mind putting my credit card details in every time I want to buy something. That would be okay. And like, I do the SIM cards for the Sentry boxes with EE, and I, after every time I do it, because they do an auto update if you're not careful, and I get my card charged. So I've gone in and got rid of the card, and then the next time I buy it, it adds the card again, and there isn't a button that says, look, just don't add my card, please. I just want to do individual purchases when I want to do them. Can't do it. It automatically adds the card, and then I have to go into the account, and I have to delete the card, and then the next time I buy it, automatically adds the card, and it's just unbearable.
Yeah, No, agreed.
And that can't be added security. I'm sorry.
You know, the analog of this is just as bad, and it cracks me up because I get pissed every time when you buy something, and I don't have anything recently new, but when you buy something and you have to get through that blister pack, and one out of every five blister packs cut you, I say to myself, if it was up to me, I would beat the living skin out of shoplifters because I can't stand cutting myself on blister packs because the stores are so worried that, you know, someone's going to steal something super simple. It doesn't even have to be expensive. It's like a $10 mouse and it has like 8 pounds of blister pack on it to get to a $10 mouse.
Yeah.
And it's irking. But the reason why all this stuff exists is because we have people who just insist on doing shady shit. And sorry. And if they didn't do that, we wouldn't have to bend over backwards to protect ourselves. So I want to be mad at the companies for making us go through all this crap. I want to be mad at having my bag inspected when you go in and out of various stores. But at the same token, I kind of understand it because I worked in retail for so long. It's just, it's irritating.
Interesting points here in the chat room. GB Redneck is trying to buy an iPhone 10 case from Apple and he can't find it in the store. the case is not an OEM. Why would you buy a phone case from Apple? Just that's not makes no sense to me whatsoever. Because you go on Amazon, it said Deepan says you, and it looks like it might be a specific to iPad issue. As I just activated an old iPhone that doesn't have a SIM in it, and it's on 12.1 now. Bob Peach has then put, how old is it? Because I've just had to put a SIM in my 5S to activate it. That's interesting.
It might be carrier-based.
So Deepan's done it with a 4S without activation, and Bob's had to do it with activation on a 5S. So it, Deepan said, I think it might be iPad only, but it doesn't look like it is, so... If what Bob said is the norm and not just Bob's idiosyncratic phone, perhaps that's let him down.
Yeah, I think. Hey, speaking of passwords and security and different things like that, has anybody else been kind of irritated with both 12.1 and Mojave doing the super strong passwords? You know, suggesting them, and if you do accept one of them, it doesn't save it in the keychain. I've had that happen numerous times.
Ouch.
Yeah, and so you have to go in and you've got to do a password reset. And that's happened probably in the last, month or so since Mojave came out. It doesn't seem to happen as much with 12 and iOS 12 and 12.1, but I see it all the time with Mojave. And I've just finally gotten to the point I don't use any of their suggested strong passwords.
I think I've only had it happen once, but then I use one password, so I tend to generate the one password because I like the words with the hyphens. The words with the hyphens to me is the best, because if I ever have to type it, at least I can read it and then type it. I don't have to stare at it while I'm typing it when I can't see.
Yeah, and do the old, is that a capital U or a small V?
Yeah, one password does a good job of not giving you ambiguous characters next to each other too, which is wrote it into their thing.
I have not enabled keychain on any of my devices. I just can't. I've suffered and seen other people who suffered from trusting Apple with their photos. The last thing I'm going to trust them with is a bloody password. Not in a million years.
I must admit, with Mojave, I've noticed since I've updated that if I'm filling in a new application and it says, let us suggest a password, that it fills a password in automatically, and I have trouble trying to click on it to actually say, don't use that password. So I'm trying to click on that little box and trying to jab the delete button to delete it. And it just seems to take me to have to refresh the screen to stop it from using it. It's almost like I'm being forced to use it. So some users may, some new people to Mac, especially then Mojave, will find out they're actually being told by Apple that don't worry about passwords, we'll manage it for you. Apple. Which is kind of okay if you can do that. But for us guys, we were a little bit more, as I said, tech savvy that, it's not a good idea. But I've noticed Apple that I'm having it forced on.
Apple has got to be the last tech company in the world to allow show password. Everyone else does show password, nothing on Apple. You cannot do show password. I'm sat here in this office by myself. Why the friggin' hell can't I do show password when I want? Are you worried I might use it in an airport when it's really crowded and someone's looking over my shoulder? Because if I do, then I deserve everything I get.
You really do.
I want show password more than I want people to protect morons.
It's kind of true. That is super true. I hate the stuff that we change to protect the morons. And you figure like there's so many things in our country where they've made it because some dumb people. And I was like, I prefer the survival of the fittest thing, where dumb people used to just get hurt.
Yeah, well, natural selection, mate.
As the representative,
yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
As the representative dumb person on the show, right? The password thing now has been retrospected back to High Sierra, because I haven't upgraded to Mojave yet, and that appears now when I put new passwords. Do you want to use our password? So it's no, and I type my own secure password in. But they've actually updated High Sierra in the same way. I do use keychain, because again, it's just it keeps it all there for me. So it's the 80% rule, isn't it? It's people like us
the 80%ers are the dumb, as Doc says, who want it all done for them. You know, I don't use one password. I make up my own. But I use Keychain when I forget them. So go in and look and see what it was.
Am I misremembering that there's a setting to turn off macOS password suggestions? Because I thought I did that at one point, and to this day, even on Mojave, I do not get password suggestions from my Mac.
Right.
I'm looking here.
I'm looking too.
I don't get password suggestions either. I don't put it into Keychain at all. I'm putting nothing into Apple's.
Keychain for me, that's where Wi-Fi passwords live. That's where certificates, my email digital signature certificates, that's where they live because they have to. But like real password management and storage, that's what 1Password's for me.
Yeah, I can't stress enough how good 1Password is. Like, and you know, I've converted so many people into getting 1Password, but it is just amazing. And they forever work on it. Like, they never sat on their laurels ever. Like, they're forever, ever, ever making it better. And I love the integration with so many apps in the phone. You know, because phone apps, especially with this thing where Apple, like, if you haven't touched an app in a while, it deletes it. But then you go to travel and it says, okay, I got to reinstall that stuff. It does it really quickly. But then you would have to reset it up and re-put in passwords. And with the way 1Password works, like, it just, you know, has the integration. It looks at your face. It goes, okay, I remember you set the password up for that, like, last year when you traveled. And it's right back and ready to roll. So, to me, it's worth the spin. It's really, really handy.
Yeah. Okay, so that's in Safari preferences, according to Bob Beach.
Yeah, you can turn off passwords in Safari preferences for online stuff, but you can still get other suggestions for passwords as well, can't you, from programs. It doesn't turn it off completely. Doesn't matter whether it's a 5S or a 4S, it seems crazy to have to put a SIM in, says Deepan. Yes. Hello, Juan. Nice to meet you, mate. Hi, hi.
Who?
Who's ringing?
Martin.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Hey, Martin, welcome.
Yeah, see what I mean about the idiots who don't even turn the ringer off when they go on a live show? It's just
I'm going to check my ringer real quick just to be safe.
the ringer's off. It's my phone, mate, that was on.
This show.
Oh, my God. The best thing and the worst thing of the new iPad Pro is the speakers. The best thing, because it sounds amazing. The worst thing, when it all starts ringing at once, I got the old iPad Pro, the new iPad Pro, yeah, the two iMacs, and the phone all go at one time. It sounds insane in here.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God. I haven't had that happen with my new iPad Pro yet, but at least now I'm prepared. So it's going to sound like a casino in my place when that happens, yeah, right?
Basically, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Someone sent Jeff a text, for Christ's sake. James, you've just put down about your case being ace for your iPhone 10.
My mouse one, yeah.
Your case is a sideboard. it's a Dansett record player. Look at it.
Beautiful. Look at it.
Don't show the front. There's no point. Look at the sideboard on the back.
That is the back.
Yeah, I know, and it's a sideboard.
It's a UK company called Mouse, and they've got great marketing, and it's a great thing. And
my mom and dad had a mahogany drinks cabinet that's smaller than that.
It is.
They used to keep maraschino cherries in there, and I used to go and nick them when I was a kid.
I'll be honest with you, Ewan, my wife hates it. She absolutely hates it. I mean, Mouse do leather ones and
carbon. Me and Julia got taste then, obviously, because...
Yeah, you definitely have. She just goes, I can't stand it.
You drop that, you're going to start chipping concrete.
Well, the great thing is you can use that as a cheese serving tray as well.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That's mouse, get it? That's funny.
Jeez,
You will get. You want to get. You want to get. You want to get a cheese knife to go on that and clip on the side. That'd be awesome.
Oh, if Will Green was here, he'd be loving this now. He'd be loving it, wouldn't he?
He can't talk.
He'd like some cheese.
He'd be setting up a store on Alibaba or something to sell them.
Bob Beach has said, I think my parents had the same cabinet, Ewan. And Danny Patton said, that looks like a 1970s US station wagon with a wood panel in. Morris Minor Traveller.
Yeah, the old Moggy.
Morris Minor Traveller. Yeah. Oh, my life.
When my phone drops out of my pocket, it is perfect. So there you go. I don't care what it looks like.
You guys remember the Griswolds?
Yeah,
that's the car that they had.
You read my mind.
Yeah, the family truckster.
Oh, happy days.
I can't. Who honestly thought that putting wood paneling on a car was cool before people actually thought, wow, wood paneling on a car is cool? I never got that.
My guess is that Ford or Oldsmobile, there's a bunch of executives sitting around smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey. And one of them said, okay, I bet you $50 we can get people to buy cars with wood paneling on the side. And the other guys are like, okay, $50, prove it. And here we are.
Here we are.
Oh, my life. Yeah, that's yeah. And if we don't, Fred's got to run around the production hall naked.
Right.
Yeah.
And Fred was like, okay. And was probably worried for a little bit if he's going to have to run around naked. But in the end, he made his $50.
That's got to be, yeah, a bet.
That is the craziest thing ever.
It is.
Awesome.
It absolutely is. Apple is showing off the iPhone. I've got the wrong page up there. Sorry about that. It's showing off the camera shots taken with the XR, the 10R. And I've got to say, they are not bad. There's a good color balance there. The HDR is not horrific. I've got to say, they've gone a little bit towards the holy shit end of HDR for me now. They used to do it really, really well, but it's a little bit too much. But these images are lovely. They're not underexposed. They're not overexposed. The HDR's passable.
I think it's all around general good camera.
It is. I can't find fault with those at all.
Yeah, I mean, for the average user, they'll be taking better photos with this than anything they've had before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good. And it is, I mean, the thing that's nice about the camera is it does a very good job in selecting and framing, and it does a very good job in face detection and things like that. Tux just sent me a picture of a holy shit mobile. I think it's really good. I think that if you look at the 10R, I've been impressed with what I've seen of Muller using it, and it's a fantastic phone. I think I've probably overpurchased by buying the 10S Max. I think, the SX Max, whatever it is, the Hyper phone. I should have just bought the waited and got the 10R. Saved myself £500.
I'm sticking my iPhone 10 this year. This is the first year I haven't, been tempted to move over. I am so happy with my iPhone 10. It's such a great camera.
That's the interesting thing is that if you've got a 10, I think you'll see a difference and you'll have a real good step up to the 10R.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think it's not a backward step at all. I think you're probably actually getting a better phone.
Really?
If I went for the XR, you're saying, sorry?
If you went for the 10R, I reckon that would be a step up from the 10. Because the face detection is significantly faster.
Yeah. And obviously you've got the new chip in there as well, so it would be a faster phone. Obviously the graphics are faster as well. It's just that you're just trading in the OLED screen for this liquid retina garbage thing.
Bob's sticking with his two. Bob's sticking with his 10 at 2 as well, James. So.
Yeah, do you know what?
Me too. I'm with you, James.
This was, yeah, do you know what? Obviously, next year we'll see something great again. You know, this is Apple's tick on the top, as they keep saying, or the top on the tick. I forget which way around it is, but we'll certainly see something worth maybe upgrading from a 10 from next year. But no, I'm pleased for people who've now managed to go to the XR at the price points that it is at. I think it's a good market. Having the colours is a really good thing as well. I know the red one looks amazing because Muller's shown it off. It looks incredible.
I mean, Muller's putting the face detection on the 10R is faultless, and it's Muller's face, don't forget.
I know, right?
Because Muller's face is interchangeable with every criminal that ever lived. So
that's one thing I've got to say about the iPad Pro, the new one out there. Face ID on that thing is incredible.
It is awesome, right?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I want it on a MacBook or I want it on an iMac. It works. I mean, it just works. It's really, really fast. And
it's awesome. Good. Really good.
I did a video on YouTube. I did a video on YouTube because I completely disagreed with almost everybody in the industry who said that you cannot use the new iPad Pro almost as a laptop replacement. And I came at it from the angle that most of the files live in the cloud now. You know, yeah, I know you can't plug an external storage or external hard drive, but I mean, if you're doing something big, you had to move it. Yes, you have to figure out a way to do that. But for what most people are going to use an iPad for, or most the average person uses a laptop for nowadays, which is Word, Excel, PowerPoint, pages, numbers, things like that, and, you know, sending out emails, man, that thing is lightning fast. It's absolutely ridiculous. Mm. Now, yep. The people who were writing that articles were all tech people, and they go, well, you can't edit a video that well on it. It's not for that, you know, and technically neither is a laptop at that point. I mean, if you're a video editor, in quotes, you have a Mac Pro or you have an iMac Pro, you know, like, but if you are a YouTube video editor with Adobe Rush, you damn sight can do it on the iPad Pro. Like, it's quite incredible. This thing is so stupid fast. And I plugged in my DJ kit externally. I plugged in microphones externally. Like, all kinds of stuff works that I never expected would work. I will say I wish that they would allow moving things from, say, an external SSD or an external card through the USB-C. But I get, again, that's a security thing. As soon as they do that and someone adds a malware from their device and it hoses this, what turns out to be like a $1,700 iPad, then people are going to be mad. Why'd Apple allow that? Right now they don't allow it, and they're like, why doesn't Apple allow that? So I kind of get that, but iPad Pro, sick. It's so sick.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I've got a kind of a cheap Chinese knockoff, you know, one of those USB-C docks that I'd been using for quite a while, and I kept thinking, oh, there's no way that this thing's going to work with the iPad Pro. It's got, let's see, three regular USB A ports. It's got an HDMI out. It has SD and micro SD readers, and it has Ethernet. And when I plug the thing in, I was totally amazed. You go into the settings app, and right up at the top, all of a sudden there's a line for Ethernet. So it connects to Ethernet. Pretty amazing.
Mm. And Mullis, the HDMI out support is clean.
Yeah.
Muller thinks that when you do the Face ID, the phone vibrate, but it's not. It's the phone shuddering.
That's the best part about that joke is Ewan held that joke until Steve and I finished gushing over our iPad Pro.
Yeah, no, it took me that long to think of it. So. Muller knows I love him. He knows I love him, really. What's the next story? I can't think of another story because there's not much to do. Oh, Final 10. Now, I was interested in this one because I want to know what this is going to entail, if you like, or what this is going to give me. So Final Cut 10 has been updated with support for third-party workflow extensions. Now, you've obviously got the third-party add-ons that you can already do. You know, the, what's the word I'm looking for? The macros and, oh, come on, what's the bloody phrase? Plugins, thank you. But I'm interested to see what this is going to give us, because I don't know that I understand an awful lot about what it's about. Anyone?
You got things like some of the higher-end noise reduction tools. You got like better audio pass-through. Some of it has to do with when you're having... Okay, like in one of the shops where I do a little support work for, they have like five editors working on these like half an hour pieces. And in the, what's the word I'm looking for? Avid space, there used to be these plugins that help pull all of the individual parts together and make sure that the color correction is sort of similar and stuff like that. And Final Cut Pro never really supported that, whereas Premiere, After Effects, and Avid always did. And now this version will allow that kind of stuff to happen.
It's saying that you can add, so there'll be a Shutterstock store right there in the app. So if you want to, if you want a piece of footage or you want a still, you can search for it in the app and buy it in the app straight into your libraries. Which I don't know if I like that or not.
It comes in handy for people that need to pull third-party clips or need to pull stock clips. Like for instance, there's a great new show on Netflix called The Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj, and he pulls in a lot of old clips, old new footage and stuff like that. So in order to get access to those things, you need something like that Cat DV thing or some of the other licensing capabilities, and now that's there.
The only thing that bothers me about this, and here's my warning bells going off, but perhaps unfairly, is if there's a Shutterstock store or a Pond5 store or whatever in my app, one of the things that I value a great deal at the moment is I download music and I download stock imagery and video. And then I will utilize that in other productions for people that haven't seen it in the other productions where I've utilized it in the past, particularly music. And I'm just wondering if when you download it, there might be a single use license on this. So you get to use it in that project and it will let you see it and use it in the project. It won't be dispelled media. But when you try and use that in other projects, they would then have a license restriction on it that would stop you from using it. That would be my only downside.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I pulled that stuff off of Adobe Stock because it's part of my subscription. Yeah. And I pull that stuff off of Adobe Stock, and you know, you don't really have a problem with that. Also, when you do pull it down, you are pulling down a higher end sort of wave format. So I stick that on the Synology in a folder, and you just have that folder connected to my media searches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
YouTube is real quick now if you use the wrong music. You upload your file in the middle of uploading and it goes, really, dude, are you going to try to do this? And I was like, oh, snap, I forgot to, like, you know, duck the track and then put in the, you know, the sub music. Because when you record stuff from like a live event and then some, you know, buddy's playing DJ music in the background, you got to duck the tracks up and down really quickly. And even when it's quiet, sometimes the YouTube detector will detect it, even though the person listening to it couldn't really hear it. Like, YouTube is really good at it now because they're protecting their cookies.
I get two emails a week, perhaps, of people that have got, and this is what really annoys me, is there's an algorithm that's gone around through YouTube, through Vimeo, and it comes back and says, oh, yeah, you've stolen this music, and it registers a DMCA on it straight away. And then I get a notification through, and I write back and go, bollocks, I bought that from Pond5 or I bought that from Shutterstock. You can piss off. And then a week later, I get, they've rescinded it. Well, I'm sorry, but that's making menaces. That's going round trolling for money.
I got one for you that's going to crack you up. So in this is on during 2-hour TV time too, right? In the Apple stock music that comes with Final Cut, iMovie, GarageBand, Logic, right? I had used one of those irritating openers that almost every other video on YouTube has because it's a pretty standard irritating Apple stock music opener, which led me to go to Audio Jungle and Pond5 and stuff like that. Some dude took all of that, stuck it in a straight timeline on GarageBand, and sat there for 2 hours spouting the most insane Jeff Gamet three bottles in on a bender poetry and posted it to iTunes as an album. And it would trigger the alarms to say that you stolen this music from this dude that has an album on iTunes. Yeah. And it took me forever to get out of YouTube's jail because it was too many hits in a row. And I was like, bruh, that is the stock music that comes with Apple. I can send you clips of all the tracks, or you can just open up an Apple in your campus and open up the CAF folder, which Apple used to call it,
yeah,
and just go down and listen to that crap. How Apple got that into iTunes, I have no idea, but that dude is jacking straight Apple stock music and then going around copyright claiming people. It was the funniest but most irritating crap ever.
I had the thing with I had some Highland music, you know, like real bagpipey. And that said, I'd got Marvin Gaye, What's Going On?
Marvin sounds better than that.
It was awful, yes, stuff.
The only other funny one I got is this copyright belongs to AOL. I go, well, at the time I made it, I was an employee of AOL, so stop that. And it took them a while to figure that out. I was like, you can actually go search bylines. They're still available online.
Yeah. New Apple products, iPad, etc., are going to be sold on Amazon. Brand new stuff, not from third party resellers. I thought this was quite an interesting story, and it was just like, I can't see what the benefit was to consumers or what the benefit was to Apple or Amazon. Amazon, fair enough, they're selling stuff, but.
For Apple, the benefit is that it makes it easier for them to eliminate the crappy knockoff products, and it makes it easier for Amazon too, because now they can sell direct from Apple.
Yeah.
But I think the other part of this is that it helps Apple and Amazon both cut out a lot of third-party resellers.
Yeah, okay.
And also, I don't know if you worked in some businesses like I've worked in them where you actually get Amazon vouchers as parts of, you know, doing great work or parts of a bonus or parts of actually getting paid for certain jobs. So some people actually get given Amazon vouchers. Apple actually do give vouchers away. Again, not sure this is well known, but sometimes if you're achieving great things, they don't give you cash, they actually give you vouchers, and you can pick where you actually want to spend those vouchers. And of course, Amazon always ends up being the top one for most people because there's so much that they can buy from Amazon, you know, as in like, as you know, everything from Hoovers to toilet roll, for God's sake. So maybe it's a good sort of a good thing for them to be in because, you know, people do have money to spend inside of that space.
Are we getting cheaper pricing?
Probably
no.
No.
No. That ain't gonna happen.
No. No, that's no.
But you get them all for free now, aren't you?
Just no.
It's all free on Prime, isn't it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. What's that, Martin? That's it.
No idea.
This podcast and all these is brought to you by TSO Host. They are brilliant. Thank you to those people that have tweeted out. What they want from us is brand recognition of their support of us. So that's it. That's all you have to do. If you can buy your stuff off them and get 20% off your basket using the offer code BTN20, then fantastic. But they want brand recognition off you, so they would really love it if you took to the social medias and said, thanks to @TSO Host for supporting @BritishTech. And we do need them. We really need them. So please take the time to do that. I would be very appreciative. And thanks to those people as well who donate to BTN via either the Patreon system or by the subscription system, BritishTechNetwork.com/subscriptions. If you'd like to sign up for a $5, $10, or $20 a month subscription, it really helps us, and it pays for the things like the news show and that kind of stuff to be done. And thanks also to Wirecast. They give us this great piece of software that runs behind me, and I've got a new little device here that that I purchased. This is the Elgato Stream Deck. and it's absolutely brilliant. Those are little custom icons. Those are all LCDs that are underneath the screens there on those buttons, and I've made the custom icons for them, and I've programmed the keystroke controls for Wirecast with them. So I've got a Wirecast profile now.
It's lovely, brilliant.
And I've been sitting switching with it.
That was a pick on the show quite a while ago from some brilliant dude by the name of Doc.
It was £127 for this, but it's the best money I've spent. I've sat and switched last night and today with it, and it is absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. I thought you picked another MIDI controller. Did you? You've obviously got it because you've got it in your hands there. But
yeah, I picked this. Like when I got it, I was gushing over this and their Camlink from Elgato, which is how you guys see me in such wonderful 4K that Ewan smashes down.
Yeah, to 720. Thanks for you make me do it on the fly as well, so it hurts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. When you bought it, you bought it when we were talking about it.
That's where my CPU's going at 75% right now. But you can set little profiles up. So when you trigger that program, you can switch the profiles so that you've got one for Photoshop, you can do one for Finder, you can do one for whatever you like, any program you like. And there's some preset ones as well for some of the streaming stuff too. So I need to do one for Photoshop because there's some certain operations in Photoshop that I do on a regular basis. It'd be great to set those up, sharpening and stuff like that. It'd be brilliant. But Wirecast, it's perfect for Wirecast. If you've got Wirecast, then you're really ripping it, but that's a great addition to it. Really, really flexible piece of software for doing broadcasting. So do support them. And thanks to Hoyer as well for the glasses. They gave me these for the shows. They're superb. I've had everywhere I go, someone comes up and goes, I really like your glasses. And I tell them the whole story about how you get your Deku's. And they're... they love them. They really love them. So hopefully we'll drive a bit of business towards Mark. Right. Time for the cool things. Start us off. Doc.
All right. I have a Hoyer story. And this is pretty epic.
You've got
right here. These are my lovely glasses. I bought these I got them as a gift a little more than a year and a half ago. And when they were purchased what we call planos, which is non-prescription lenses. I went to my store here to get my prescription put in, and it was like $400 for some quote unquote high quality lenses. And I was like, well, that sucks, but you know, I'm going to get them anyway. Whilst I was in Japan, I decided I need to update my prescription. So I rolled into the store and I was talking to the guys like, hey, can you put new lenses in these? And the guy was like, yeah, no problem. And he showed me a list of what they had. And the first set he showed me were amazing. They were Seiko lenses and they were like $90. And I was like, shut up. Because those Seiko lenses in the US are like $300. And I go, do you have Hoyer? He goes, yeah, that's our top of the line.
Yeah.
And I was like, gangster. And he showed it the difference because they had this little thing. It's a aperture you put on your face and they stick like analog lenses in at your prescription so you can see. And when he stuck the Hoyas in, the contrast on the distance was so good. Like I could see evil inside people's soul. Like these glasses, the contrast is amazing. I am reading crap from all the way across the room that I didn't realize I could read before. So I asked them how much were these going to be, and they were $140 US. When I came back, I looked it up here. These exact same lenses in the US are almost $500, but these are top of the line Hoya. I forget the name of it, but they're designed to just give you this insane contrast. And oh my God, they're the most amazing lenses. I was texting you from Japan. It's like, bruh. You were right the whole time. You were so right. These are amazing.
Are they the Sync 3? Are they progressive or are they single vision?
They're progressive, but the name is something something 3.
Sync 3.
Oh, God.
No, Sync. Bruh. Are they Sync 3 lenses?
So there's a long and then a normal and then a close as I go like that. And then, but the line is amazing. Like it's not as harsh as they were on my American fit.
Right. Okay. No, there's a lens called Sync 3, which is for people that have got single vision lenses. So they've only got one prescription for like reading or something or using or seeing long distances, but then they just bulk up the very bottom of the lenses so that you've got a bit of assistance when you're doing short reading or video work. And they're brilliant. And you can get them on single vision if you've got a Medicare plan or something like that in the US for insurance, and you've only got single vision provision on there. They give you effectively like a progressive lens, but they still class them as single vision lenses on your insurance. So you can get
really
them. Yeah, single three. I filmed the launch of those with a guy called Thomas Gosling, and he's an eye doctor in Denver. So, good guy.
Really nice. I forget the exact name of these, but anyway, if you're on some kind of plan and you can get it, talk to your guy, like you and said for the last 4 years, you need Hoya lenses, especially if you're OG, you have salt in your beard. These things are quite amazing. I can't rave about them enough. And if you can, you can probably save money by going to Japan and get it made and still be cheaper than you can buy them for here in the US without insurance.
Well, I mean, the reason that I got into Hoya was because Mark contacted me because I tweeted out that I'd got some new lenses and my iPhone was curved. I was like, I'm looking at my iPhone. My iPhone's bloody curved and I can't see properly. These are bloody horrible. And he said, you want to put Hoya lenses in those, mate, then you'll be straight. And sure enough, they bloody were. And then it transpired that the guy that had done me prescription had made a right cock of it as well. So I'd got the wrong prescription in as well. And that came through from working with Hoya. So I can't say enough good stuff about Hoya, mate. And Crikey Trousers was here. Graham, he was the one that walked into the store in Bristol and said, do you do Hoya lenses? Like I'd asked him to. And they went, yeah, we do. So it cost him a grand in glasses.
these are Avantech.
Real quick.
Go on. So those are the Avantech lenses.
These are the original, the first one, because these were where they measured your face.
With the thing, yeah.
So these are my normal glasses. I had a pair of single prescription sunglasses made for driving, which are superb. The contrast.
I've got some sunglasses in my Maui gyms as well.
And then I had a third pair made, which was for use on the computer screen.
Yeah.
Again, single prescription, just set at exactly that distance between it.
Yeah, good. And
perfect, absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, Doc, go on, you were saying?
No, I was going to say, I wanted to do my pick real quick, and
that's it.
Procreate. If you get yourself a new iPad Pro, and you've got to get Procreate until the real Photoshop comes out in like January or February, they've just updated it. They've done so much to it. Apple Pencil 2 is an amazing piece of kit, and I was always kicking and screaming about Apple cases because they're a little expensive for no reason, but the new iPad Pro with the new case and the keyboard is flawless. Just absolutely flawless. I thought I was going to return it and buy a third-party kit, and I'll probably keep this because it's pretty amazing. 120-some-odd magnets is the truth. But check out the Procreate if you got a new iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil. It's amazing.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what do you have for us?
Well, I just realized a couple minutes ago is out of stock. So,
will it be coming in stock or is it end of line?
I'm not sure. There might be a new model coming out. So I'll show it real fast, but I have a backup pick.
Okay.
So this is a HomeKit only smart outlet and it's from ConnectSense. And two outlets on it. You can control them independently. Buttons on the side so you can control them physically. And a USB port for charging. And since it's HomeKit only, you don't have to worry about if there's any weird stuff with security issues, like if you were going to connect it through a Google Home or Alexa, anything like that. But I have a pick that actually is available and it's pretty cool. And it's the Viva Pro. I can't show you the physical thing because it's actually in my car. So what this is, I have a link for this.
That's okay.
Here. Go for it. I'll drop you a link. Okay. So the Viva Pro is,
nice.
It's so you can have Alexa in your car and so it pairs up with the sound system in your car. So it has a audio jack port on it. It can do Bluetooth, and it can do FM radio as well. So you can connect it any way you want. And then it links back to your iPhone for its data connection. So you can do driving directions. You can have it stream music and tell it to turn the lights on at home, whatever. And so it's like, I want to say it's like $70 for this thing.
Yeah, it's made by Anchor.
Is it?
Yeah. And
if you've got Alexa in Alexa, your car, does that mean you can use HOV lanes?
And I'm sure you can use HOV lanes because now you have a car partner.
Yay!
I like how it works. It's been really reliable and easy to use. And it has two USB ports on it, so you can charge devices at the same time.
Excellent, mate. I've signed up for the Amazon, because Amazon have got a beta coming up, haven't they, for the Alexa in your car device.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to trying that out. I'm on the list.
I'm on the list, but whether they send it to the UK or not is a different answer.
So. Yeah. What I like about this compared to the photos we've seen of the Echo for the car thing is that this is smaller. It doesn't take up any space on the dashboard of your car because it just plugs into the power port. And if you're connecting like to Bluetooth to the sound system in your car, there's no wires anywhere. You just plug it in and it works.
Cool. Like that. Good pick, mate. Superb. Steve, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, you know, with the chorus of good comments going around about the iPad Pro, I'm sorry, but I have to definitely join in. I have been iPad Pro owner since day one. Had one of the original 12.9-inch models. I found that there were certain things that I just couldn't do with that, so I thought, it's really not a laptop replacement. Then I went with the 10.5-inch, and I found that to be a little bit limiting. The screen just wasn't large enough to do a lot of the side-by-side work. So finally went back to the 12.9, and once again, thank you, Jeff, for coming up with the idea to go to my local Apple store and just see if they had them in stock, because they did.
Got you back.
Yeah, thank you, man. And I'm just totally impressed with this thing. So far, with the exception of my Skype issues that I was running into this morning, everything seems to be working fine. I haven't had, the biggest problem I ran into with the earliest version, the original 12.9, was that I constantly seemed to be running into little barriers where I just couldn't do something that I needed to do on a laptop. So it just kind of drove me away from using the iPad Pro as a laptop. Now I think I can. And the only issue I've got is damn Skype. So I've got to figure out what's going on there.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. You can't beat the Apple kit. I know it's expensive and I know we grimace about it, but yeah, it is good. James, what are you up for us, mate?
So, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, cool. It's a bit of a shameless plug, really, as well as it being an actual pick, but I think it's well worth talking about.
It's not a problem.
So, anybody who knows Udemy, this is the online course people who do digital content to help you learn some great things, everything from music creation to video and sort of graphics. Anyway, they got in contact with me and asked me if I would be interested in doing a course in Motion 5 for them, because what they've got at the moment is they've got courses which are really, really old courses. They've got nothing with Motion 5, which is new. So I've adapted my course for Udemy, and it's now on their website. And because it's Black Friday, it is £10, ladies and gentlemen. It is £10. And that's just an absolute bargain, because there's a lot of my time went into creating this, and it's great. So if you want to learn motion graphics using Apple Motion, you get it for £10 now, which is incredible, really. It's a great deal, but they've assured me that they've got a great audience and they'll be able to move it on for me at a quicker rate, if you like. So it's a great deal. It's 3.5 hours of content, I'm available for messages and stuff by it. So if you're running any problems, you are actually going to talk to me directly. The Udemy instructor side of the training is pretty cool, the way I can be connected to people who want to know more. And obviously, if it's successful, I'll go on and create more content for it. So, yeah, it's available as a part of Black Friday at the moment. It's £10, which is, you know, I was selling this retail at £100. So this is a cracking deal for anybody. Just another really good quick one. I've been playing the new Battlefield 5 on, and it's just an incredible game. And don't listen to naysayers. It's amazing. I'm about 20 hours in, and it's just an incredible game. Battlefield 5 by EA. It's just been released.
It's not on Mac, though, is it?
Sorry?
It's not on Mac.
Well, I use Windows 10 on my Mac, so that's how I get by on this.
All right, then, fair enough. Jesus. I thought I had him.
No, I use Windows 10 on my Mac, and you know, I wouldn't dare have a PC at all. But I tell you what, it runs incredibly well. All my settings are on high, and it looks absolutely stunning. I thought Forza Horizon 4 looked amazing on my MacBook Pro 15-inch, but Battlefield 5 is stunning. It's amazing to me that they're getting this at a Radeon graphics card, really. And it does look incredible. And I've seen people playing ultra settings. I honestly can honestly say I can't notice any difference in it. It's really that good. So Battlefield 5 for Windows, and obviously available on the PlayStation and Xbox as well. Definitely worth a buy.
Cool. Good pick. Martin, have you got a cool thing for us?
I have. I just put it in. I'm sure you've all played Airport Madness. Okay.
Can't say I have.
No, it's a great game, and it used to be on the thing. But now on an iPad, you've got Airport Madness 3D, and it's absolutely cracking. So it's takes up hours of my time. Shouldn't do it, but it's a lot of fun. And you buy it once, and that's it. There's no in-app apps, purchases, and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to have some fun, you like landing planes and crashing them, as I often do, Airport Madness 3D is the way to go.
Excellent, mate.
Okay.
Is it on the Mac?
It's in the App Store. Yeah, it's a Mac game. It's in the App Store. It's made by... I can't think of any company. There's so many made it.
It's made by MP Digital LLC. I just found it.
All right, okay, cool.
Big fat simulations, that's it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. As I said, you wonder where all the hours have gone.
Really? Excellent. Brilliant.
Good man. My cool thing, bigfatsimulations.com. Right, okay. My cool thing is Norseman on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I've watched the first two.
It is so dry. It is just brilliant. The first episode where they've got the old boys and they're trying to chuck them off the cliff to go to Valhalla. He's just excellent because it takes 20th century logic and rhetoric and applies it to the Vikings. All the people in it are Norwegian, but the whole thing's in English. And some of the stuff is just so good. And the British slave, or it doesn't work. I can't get the Netflix thing to play. But the guy that plays the kind of well-to-do slave who started, he is brilliant in it. And the way they take the piss out of him, or put the piss into him, actually, in a couple of episodes, is brilliant. I absolutely adore it. Norseman, and there's two seasons of it as well, so there's plenty to get your teeth into there and watch it, most definitely. Well worth the money, the rental of Netflix.
I've got to say, I absolutely agree wholeheartedly. The first episode where he's trying to find the bow and to burn the man on the water, and the arrow just falls short every time. He can't fire this arrow across the river. It's hilarious.
That's not the first episode, I don't think.
Is it not?
No, that must be the first episode of the second season, because it's not on the
morning. Oh, gosh.
Spoiler.
Oh, well.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's brilliant. Brilliantly done.
Yeah, but it is. Yes, hilarious. Excellent.
Good pick. Good pick.
Thank you, mate. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK and not saving enough energy for the swim back. And on the Solid Podcast at solid.fm.
Yeah, good man. Excellent that you spent that $10,000 going over to Japan for those $190 lenses.
It wasn't 10 grand, but yeah.
Be sure to do it every time you need new specs.
Oh, I will. Honestly, I will. Because, I get a good phone when I'm there, but it's way cheaper. And I go twice a year anyway, so.
He's become your local Hoyer supplier in Japan.
Yeah, in Japan.
Let me just hop on the Airbus. Jeffrey, where are you, mate?
I am over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com, which it's cool getting to say that. And I'm on Twitter, jgamut, and same thing on Instagram.
Good man.
So now when I need tech support or text expander, I'm just going to email you straight. I'm joking.
Well, you know where to find me.
You know he can do that. Jeff will do that. He's good as gold, mate. Good as gold. Steve, where would you be?
You can find me at appleworld.today, and also I do quite a bit of writing for the folks at OWC, and they can be found, those articles, I should say, can be found at blog.macsales.com.
Excellent, mate. Superb. And last, James, where will you be?
I'm busy watching airplanes crash on Airport Manders 3D. You can find me on Twitter at James Rickards, that's RICKARDS. Of course, catch me up on Udemy.
Good man. Excellent.
Perfect. Thank you.
Now, Martin, tell us about the London Mac user group and how people can get involved.
Yes, we were still going after nearly 30 years. We are second Monday every month. We meet.
You said you've got like 500 correspondence members.
Yeah, we have, yeah. We got an awful lot of people out there who sign in. We've got over 150 members who pay our annual fee every year to keep us going. Numbers are dropping on our routine meetings every week. But we're trying to up that now. We're going to change it slightly. We're going to go over...
Fantastic boost of people, I've got to say.
If
I'm in London, I will always go to...
Any slackers are always welcome. Second Monday of the month, St. John Balcombe in Marylebone.
Yeah.
And now we're going to look at what we're doing, edition as well. And for the first time last month, we actually went to the Apple Store. We met at the Apple Store. We did one of their courses with some of the people there, and then went to a local hostility to have our Q&As. So everyone's welcome. It's a good bunch. They're a nice bunch of guys. We're trying to get on and expand again.
It is a good. It's a good day. I have to say. Whenever I've gone to London, I've always made a point of if there's work at that time and I can get down there, I'm always there. Definitely. So I'm welcome again.
I will do a shout out. We have our Christmas do in December. Christmas quiz. Christmas party. So anyone who wants to come along, let us know. We can invite
guests.
Second Monday. That's the 12th. I think I'll double check that. Right. But yeah. So certainly slackers. If you're in London, you want to come down. L Mug quiz, which is always a good laugh.
Excellent.
So hopefully see you all then.
Cool. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow at British Tech on Twitter as well. And we're on Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff too. So come along and join in the fun. Next week's shows are on Wednesday because Thanksgiving's getting in the way. So we shall see you on Wednesday for the live shows if you want to pop along and have a bit of fun. And they're back-to-back as well, so there'll be a curry in between and all that kind of stuff, which would be cool. So if you want to come to the studio, come for the curry and then come for the big show. It'll be awesome. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
James, you always leave it too frigging long to say goodbye.
Sorry, I won't say goodbye anymore.
I edit you out because there's this huge frigging gap. It was immediate. I could probably cope with it, but it sounds like we got shit latency.
So, James, what we're trying to say is we really want you to say bye-bye at the very beginning and then take your ass somewhere.
No, because I could justify the latency when he was in France, but not now he's only 3 miles up the road.
Still my internet, mate. Still the internet.
Still shit.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you, guys.